Do you know what? This happens all the time and it's really annoying. So in the 2 weeks between episodes, I'm always thinking about something funny to say for the bit before the theme music. And then I always come up with something really good and think, yeah, I'll use that. And then I completely forget what I come up with. So instead you got this, me telling you that I might have thought of something funny but forgot about it. Run the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, just seeing a trusty old Red Rider carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's got the IQ of a rabbit.
Yes, but he's got the faith of a child. Simple.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. And when I say beautiful, I mean beautiful. You're glorious. You are absolutely fabulous. Look at you. You're gorgeous. You're beautiful. Okay, are you ready for the interactive bit? Don't answer, because that's not the interactive bit. Here comes the interactive bit. Are you ready? Don't answer if you're ready. Here comes the interactive bit. Do you like chocolate? Yeah, me too. It's good, isn't it? And scene. Do you know what? I figured if I went with chocolate, then you'd definitely say yes. There might be one or two weirdos out there that said no. No offence that you're a weirdo. I don't have a problem with weirdos. Some people call me a weirdo. They're wrong. I'm very normal. But I thought if I said chocolate, everyone's going to say yes. You said yes. We had a wonderful conversation. It was short. It was sweet, like chocolate. Although, if you get one of those big bars of chocolate, it's not short. Can we just move on? We did the interactive bit. Now let's talk about Christmas. I got an email from Dr. Gerald Case Blanchard. I hope I said that right, Doc. And he's put this, right? You really should live stream your podcast. So much more can be gained by the listener if combined with a viewing option. You are funny and we love to see and hear you. Right, Doctor. Goodness me. You have clearly no idea what it's like me recording this podcast. Just to get through that last sentence, reading out that bit of your email, that took me four attempts, and I've had to edit out three of them. And when I say four attempts, it's like I actually had to use a bit from the first one and a bit from the fourth one. That's what me recording a podcast is like. It's not like when there's two people there and I have a conversation, you can get away with it. It's just me shouting at a microphone. And also, the second thing, we'd love to see and hear you. I don't think you'd like to see me, to be honest. You say that and then you see me and you'd be like, oh, goodness me, I didn't realise it was that bad. So let's just move on about how long it takes me to do the podcast and how ugly I am. Okay, so I've got a packed show. I've got a fantastic interview coming up later on. But right now, we're going to do this.
Fading joy and surprise. And the gifts we despise.
It's craptacular.
So boys and girls, do you remember a couple of episodes ago, I did that little segment on people's worst Christmas presents they'd ever received, and I made some dig about the fact that no one ever sends me any, despite me asking you to send me your worst ever Christmas presents? Well, I got sent one by Rob Taylor, and I hope you like listening to this, because I really enjoyed this one. Here we go. I was with my ex, who is an ex for a reason. A week or two before Christmas, I went Christmas shopping with her, something I actually enjoyed then and still do to this day. Anyway, she pointed out a pair of boots, similar to classic Converse shoes, but chunkier and made from denim. Immediately, I mentioned they were an eyesore and couldn't stop laughing at how bad they looked. From there, she stormed off in a mood and it occurred to me that she had bought them for me. A few days later, I had a hospital appointment to tell me how progress was going after a series of knee surgeries I underwent over the course of that year. And while sat in the waiting room, she admitted that she had considered the awful boots for me. We sort of laughed, and I explained I really didn't like them. And I furthered the excuse by mentioning that I had a limp and mobility issues from my football injuries and knee operations. So really, I should choose my footwear for myself. So anyway, Christmas Day came along, and I was at our parents' house, and her dad was sat there in a pair of terrible denim boots. And we were all full of merriment and exchanging gifts. Just imagine that. I don't know how old her dad is, but he's got his denim boots. He's like, oh yeah, yeah, these are me all over, aren't they? Look at that, denim boots, nice and chunky, just the way I like them. Jolly hats were adorned, Christmas jumpers were all being worn, and as their dog had tinsel on his collar, I put tinsel around my crutches. All was going well until she told me, "I was going to buy you the shirt of your favourite football team, that you won't name, but they look untidy and I didn't like the colours." To make things better and relieve me of disappointment, a big box was then presented to me, wrapped and with my name on it. I opened it to reveal rollerblades. Not only was I struggling to walk, but now I had something that could make my own knees even worse. But I didn't have my football club's replica shirt. I am delighted to say that we have now split up. That's a good one. I like that. I like the fact that not only did she get him an awful gift, she's like, "I'll give that to my daddy, don't care. She got him an even worse gift. It's fantastic. But to soften the blow, she's like, "You could have had this, but I got you this." Great work, Rob. Thank you for sending that in. If you have got a story about the worst Christmas present you've ever received, why haven't you sent it to me? Why? Have I done something to upset you? No? Then send the blooming thing in. Rob did it. Be like Rob. Thanks again, Rob. Now it's time for this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
Every weekend I say to myself, "Bill, you've got to stop drinking gin." Thankfully, I am not Bill. You know, the Brits did an amazing Do You Hear What I Hear Christmas episode in the anthology television show Black Mirror. This is a thoughtful series that explores various genres, with most episodes using futuristic technology and omnipresent social media to comment on contemporary issues. The first two seasons aired on England's Channel 4 before it moved to Netflix, where it has had four additional seasons, plus another one is expected in 2025. It is hugely popular here in the US. The reason I claim the 2014 special, White Christmas, to be such a Do You Hear What I Hear hit is this was one of the original Channel 4 episodes. It features an American, heartthrob John Hamm, along with an English actor, Rafe Spall, and a story where they are supposed to have lived together in a cabin for 5 years, but they've barely spoken. Matt, the American, starts to explain on Christmas how he ended up in the cabin. He is there because he led an online community of sexual predators who watched each other seduce women through a networked brain implant called Zed Eyes. These implants would transmit the user's vision and hearing, but more importantly for our purposes, these advanced neural devices were also called Z-Eyes. So, we have a US and British crossover episode and a crossover term. Whereas we in the States will say the letter Z, it is pronounced Z in most other English-speaking countries. Both Z and Z are considered acceptable pronunciations for this letter in the UK. Z seems to be the more common. The pronunciation of the letters of the alphabet goes back to Phoenicia, but innovations were made every time they were introduced into a new country. The order would change, some letters would change, some letters were dropped, and new letters were added. The word Z is derived from the French word Zed, for the same letter, which came from the Latin and Greek letter Zeta. The old English alphabet only had 24 letters, and Z was not among them. There were no native words with that sound. It was only after the Norman conquest that this letter was first introduced. Thus, this is why the letter is borrowed from the French. Z was first used to refer to the last letter of the English alphabet starting in the 12th century, and it appeared in print for the first time in the early 1400s. Originally, there were different pronunciations in the United States. As with many things, we were the exception here. There have always been diversity and variation in the pronunciation of the letter's name, mostly because it's so rarely used. It was called Zad, Zard, Izzard, Izad, Uzad, and of course, Zed. As for the theories for why we adopted Z, some argue that it was a conscious decision in the 19th century to remove our English from its British roots. I guess we fought a Revolutionary War just so we could call an obscure letter whatever we wanted. It was Noah Webster who wrote and published an American Dictionary of the English Language from 1828 who said, "The letter is pronounced Z." He officially designated the non-British Z as the official American pronunciation. Now, others will say that it became the popular choice when the Alphabet Song was copyrighted in Boston in 1835. Z was used because it rhymed with me in the last line. Z also follows the rhyme pattern of B, C, D, E, G, P, T, and V, thus making the song and the alphabet easier to learn and remember. Now, I know that I could keep going on about this from A to Z, but instead, I'm going to pop in my Z eyes and go back to watching Black Mirror. Cheers and happy Christmas.
That's another good one, isn't it? Do you know what? It's funny, right? Because as soon as he started talking about Z and Z, I thought about the Alphabet Song, because my girls, when they sing it, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z, they actually say Z, they don't say Z. Yeah, when they do the alphabet. So yeah, it doesn't rhyme, but you know, at least they're saying it properly. Well, I'm glad that's cleared that up though. Great work, Bob. It'll be back again in a bit, but right now, we're going to do this. This is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz. So, boys and girls, after last episode, when I said Benji was the only person that sent me a score, and I said, be like Benji, well, do you know what? A bunch of you have been like Benji. So, these are the scores that we received last time. Scott Newman scored 6. Benji scored 6 again. Well done, Benji. He was actually the only one just to send me the number. Everyone else sent a little comment to go with it, but Benji only sent the number. Good work, Benji. Frank Talley, hope I said that right, Talley or Tally, he scored 5. Shame on you, Frank. Shame on you. Dr. Gerald Case Blanchard, the one who thinks I could stream this crap live, he scored 6. Well done. 6 seems to be like the running number here. And also, Pamela Wootton. Ah, Pamela Wootton. How the name trips off the tongue. Pamela Wootton. She also scored 6. So well done, Pamela Wootton. I'm very proud of you, Pamela Wootton. And she's also put, Merry Christmas, you beautiful person. Now, I'm allowed to say that because my listeners are beautiful. But Pamela, I don't think you've seen me. And if you had, you wouldn't be calling me beautiful. Okay? Let's just get that straight. Right. Yeah, so everyone got 6 apart from Frank. Oh, Frank. Not Frank the Tank. Frank Tooley. Yeah. I still love you, Frank. Let's see if you can do better this time. Probably not, to be honest, because there's quite a few British-centric ones, but I've had to add them anyway, because I like them. And a couple of them are 50-50. Question number one. On average, who takes more time in wrapping a single Christmas present? Men or women? Who takes longer? Easy one. Or hard, if you get it wrong. Question number two. How many candles are there on a traditional Swedish candle bridge? Now, here's the thing. You're there thinking, how am I supposed to know that? Well, I don't know it either. But it's not going to be like 50 odd, is it? It's going to be a smallish number. You've got a chance to get it right. And also, you can't blame me for that being a UK-centric question, can you? Because it's Swedish-based. So there. Question number three. These are the opening lyrics of which 1976 number one single? A ray of hope flickers in the sky. A tiny star lights up way up high. All across the land dawns a brand new morn. Any ideas? I knew it. And I'll say this. If you're there going, am I supposed to know that? It's a UK song. No, it's not actually. It's by an American artist. So there. Question. Question. At least I make myself laugh. Question number four. In his own words, actor Sir Tom Courtney starts off every Christmas morning with a bowl of cornflakes in a sea of Baileys. I don't know if Baileys has made it overseas. It's like an Irish cream liqueur. It's quite milky, brownie milky, and my wife's mum drinks it. Does that help? Picturing my wife's mum drinking it? No? I don't know. Now, you might be there going, Who on earth is Tom Courtney? Well, I'll tell you, he's a very famous actor. And you're there going, oh, he's probably a British actor. Yes, he is. But he was in Dr. Zhivago, among other things. And I nearly didn't ask this question because you'll be thinking, oh, who is Tom Courtney? Well, I've just told you who he was. But also, it's 50-50. Either he does or he doesn't eat a bowl of cornflakes with Baileys. Right, question number, I don't care anymore. Commonly seen on Christmas cards, what bird has the scientific name Erythacus rubicula? Try that again. Erythacus rubicula. What bird is that? Easy one. Question number something. Which London department store was the first to display a sign counting down the shopping days left to Christmas? Do you remember the old shopping days left to Christmas? These days you just count down the days, don't you? Because you can go shopping pretty much any day. But you know, back in the day, they were closed on Sundays. So you just have how many shopping days you had to get your shopping done. Now you just do most of it on Amazon, don't you? Well, don't. Go shopping to this shop. Can't tell you the name of it. Right, next one. What type of Christmas did the Cheeky Girls invite us to have in their chart hit single of 2003? Well, two clues here. One, I talked about that song in a previous episode, and I think that episode was actually named after this song. Two, there's a clue in the question. And you're there going, oh, it's another British song. Yes, it is. But if you listen to this podcast, you should know that answer. And if you don't listen to this podcast, what are you doing listening to this podcast? Next question. In which 1998 film does Michael Keaton play lead singer and harmonica player in a band who was killed in a car accident and brought back to life in the form of a snowman? There you go. Easy one, wasn't it? Yeah. Question number something. What type of race takes place in Hyde Park every Christmas Day for the Peter Pan Cup? And you're there going, oh, how am I supposed to know this? Oh, it's another British one. Yeah, well, I did that in an episode as well, didn't I? So why don't you know it, huh? Why don't you know it? Because you don't pay attention, that's why. Oh, and the last one. Who wrote the 1938 novel Hercule Poirot's Christmas, which I'm sure was fabulous and not a single person died? I wonder if Kenneth Branagh's going to do a version of that. For like a Christmas movie. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Christmas murder mystery, like that. But who wrote it? Whom? Right, you ready for the answers?
Yeah.
Well, here they come then. Question number one. On average, who takes more time in wrapping a Christmas present, men or women? Well, women take 3 minutes. Men take 1 minute. That's right, because we do a shoddy job. We don't care. Question number two. How many candles are there on a traditional Swedish candle bridge? I said 8. You know the answer? 7. I was 1 out. Curses, those blooming Swedes. All they need is one more candle. What if someone's walking over their candle bridge holding a candle? Does that count? No, because they're tiny. All right, these candle bridges, probably. I don't know anything about them. Obviously, if I'd known something about them, I would have said 8. Goodness me. Right, next one. These are the opening lyrics of which 1976 number one single, I'm going to sing it for you this time. A ray of hope flickers in the sky. A tiny star lights up way up high. All across the land dawns a brand new morn. This comes to pass when a child is born. That's right, that was When a Child is Born by Johnny Mathis, which is actually one of my favourite Christmas songs. Really like that one. Next one. In his own words, actor Sir Tom Courtney starts off every Christmas morning with a bowl of cornflakes and a sea of Baileys. Is that true or is that false? Well, I put true. The answer is false. Yeah, a bit disappointed in that. Turns out he was on this TV show called Would I Lie to You, where three celebrities tell a story, two are telling lies, one's telling the truth, and he told that as a lie on that show. Okay, next one. Commonly seen on Christmas cards, what bird has a scientific name? Erythacus rubicula. That is, of course, the robin, isn't it? Got to get that one, haven't you? It's the most common thing seen on a Christmas card, apparently, is robins. Do you know why? Well, because you see them around at Christmas. But not just that. The postman in Victorian times used to wear like a red jacket. So they'd call them robins. They'd call the postman robins. So it's like the association between the postman and Christmas cards. So that's apparently one of the reasons that robins are so prevalent on British Christmas cards. See, I do know some stuff, don't I? Yeah. Right. Okay, can we just move on? I know I sound very angry tonight. I'm not angry. I'm not angry at all. I'm furious, mate. I'm furious. Right, question. Oh, goodness me, what is going on with me tonight? Question. And you're there thinking, oh, he's drunk again. Of course I'm drunk again. I was never sober. Actually, I've not been drinking either. I've not been drinking, even though it's Christmas. I should be, but I'm not drinking. I'm just reading out the questions. Can we just move on? Stop talking about my mental state, about whether I'm drunk or sober. Right, which London department store was the first to display a sign counting down the shopping days to Christmas? Well, I put Harrods, and the correct answer was Selfridges. Yeah, bloomin' Selfridges. Next one. What type of Christmas did the Cheeky Girls invite us to have in their chart hit single of 2003, A Cheeky Christmas? There you go. Yeah, if you haven't listened to that episode, you should actually. We'll talk about that because it's quite an interesting one. I say that. Probably not. Right, question number whatever. In which 1998 film does Michael Keaton play Jack Frost? Well, it's Jack Frost, isn't it? Of course. Yeah, not a great film that, is it? I think I'd enjoy it more if... they'd have to change a lot of stuff, actually, for me to enjoy it. It's naff. Right, question number whatever. Oh, no, number nine. Question number nine. What type of race takes place in Hyde Park every Christmas day for the Peter Pan Cup? It's swimming. Yeah, they swim in the Serpentine, which is a pond or small lake in Hyde Park. Yeah, there you go. And the last question, who wrote the 1938 novel Hercule Poirot's Christmas? That was, of course, J.K. Rowling. No, just kidding. It was Stephen King. No, just kidding. It was Charles Dickens. No, just kidding. It was actually Arthur Conan Doyle. No, just kidding. It was Agatha Blooming Christie. Of course it was, wasn't it? She wrote all the Hercule Poirot crap. And also the old Miss Marple stuff as well. Of course you got that one. Right, do you want to know what I got? I got seven. Yeah, so the Swedish Candle Bridge. Didn't get that one. Tom Courtney and his breakfast on Christmas Day. Didn't get that one. And the other one I got wrong was the London department store, because I thought it was Harrods. Yeah, so I've got seven. You know what to do, kids. Email me with the number and you'll hear your name next week, just like all those other people, including Pamela Wootton. Okay, boys and girls, now it's time for this. In our world of plenty, we can spread a smile of joy. Ah, Bob, welcome back. Take a seat.
Thanks, Jack. One of my favorite Smile of Joy activities from the past involved tossing all my spare change into an old water jug. I know that many people would do the same thing, and you'd save for something special like a vacation or college tuition. I would put mine aside all year, and sometimes even a few bills would land in there, some that I'd forgotten or they went through the laundry. It was amazing how quickly the coins would add up. It would always be a few hundred dollars by the end of the year, and sometimes a lot more. I would challenge myself to beat my previous total from the last year. In December, I would take it to the bank to exchange it for large bills, and then I would find the nearest Salvation Army kettle to drop it in. It just brought me so much pleasure to see the look of surprise on the face of the bell ringer. It was fun. And this money was something I never missed or even thought about. So, in our current cashless society, I was wondering what I could do now that I don't have nickels and dimes in my pockets. I found out there is an app for this. In fact, several apps, as I suppose there is now an app for everything. It makes it super easy. They round up your transactions to the next dollar amount. And your online spare change is kept in a fund and can be donated either monthly or all at the end of the year. They support over a million charities and not-for-profits with these cyber smiles of joy. You can even pause it if you're having a difficult time or even set a maximum donation amount so if you hit it, they stop rounding up. These apps are easy to find. Just Google charity donation apps. If you have an idea for spreading electronic joy, you text it to Jack. He'll email it to me. And together, we'll spread our arms and our digital hearts around the world.
Well, there we go, boys and girls. Once again, Bob has shone a light on us for us to look up and say, okay, Bob, we'll start trying to be better. We will be better people. Thanks, Bob. Boys and girls, I know every week I tell you about Bob's podcast. You know why? Because Bob puts in so much effort in my podcast. So I'm going to tell you about it and you're going to listen. It's called Festive Forum Film Fans. Go and listen to it after this one. Okay? Thank you. I'll appreciate it. Bob will appreciate it too. Now it's time for this. Boys and girls, I have an interview now with the lovely Jeannie Mulligan from Ireland, and we'll be discussing what Christmas is like in Ireland. Just a little heads up, this is a Zoom conversation. Some of the audio is a little bit patchy, but I think it's generally okay. Here comes the interview. Boys and girls, I am joined now with the wonderful Jeannie Mulligan. Do you remember last episode I talked about some stuff about Christmas in Ireland? Well, I've got her on the show. Do you remember at the end I said, if she doesn't hate me, she might come on the show, and she doesn't hate me, apparently. So here she is. You want to say hello, Jeannie?
Hi, Jack. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so much better for seeing you. First off, I wanted to start talking about music. So one of the most popular songs in the UK is Fairy Tale of New York by an Irish band. Are there any songs that you think might be popular in Ireland that we may not have heard of in the UK or in other countries?
Well, Fairy Tale of New York is the biggest one here, really. Like, but yeah, everything else is pretty much the same, you know, like Michael Bublé, Mariah Carey, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I don't think there really is anything specific other than really Fairy Tale of New York.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've let me down with that one. Here's one. So the Darlene Love version of Christmas Baby Please Come Home, you two did a version of that. Is that pretty popular over there?
That is, actually. Yeah, I went to see Imelda May. Do you know Imelda May? I went to see her in concert.
I'm familiar with her work.
Yeah. So I went to see her in concert at Christmas before. And then she had Bono come on as like a surprise special guest. And they sang that song together. And it was absolutely incredible. It was just like something out of dreams, you know, for Christmas that Bono comes on stage and nobody was expecting it at all. And then the two of them did like a little duet at that. It was really, really cool.
So did that song get the airplay then? Because I don't know if I've ever heard it on the radio over here.
Maybe that's it. Maybe just because I'm listening to Irish stuff. Yeah, no, that would get a lot of airplay here. And then Sinead O'Connor as well. She does a really lovely Silent Night. Sadly, you know, she's passed away. But Silent Night, it's like really like her haunting voice. It's really lovely as well. So that would get a fair bit of airplay here too.
Oh, okay. Well, that's one I don't think I've heard her version. I was aware of the U2 version of Baby Christmas. I don't know if they released it as a single, but I definitely remember seeing like a black and white video of it. But like I said, I don't think it gets the airplay on the radio over here. So, okay. Can you not think of any other songs? Maybe. What about Boyzone? Or Westlife?
Boyzone didn't really have anything. And then Westlife did that cover. You know, the one...
Well, the Christmas song, or was it that ABBA one?
It was the ABBA one that they released at Christmas.
It's not really a Christmas song though, is it?
No.
Nah.
No, sure it's not.
Oh. Okay, right, well, forget music then. TV. So is there any shows, apart from, obviously, we've talked about the Late Late Toy Show, is there any shows that get shown regularly in Ireland every year, do you think, that wouldn't be shown elsewhere?
There is the Father Ted Christmas special, but that's probably shown in England as well, but it wouldn't be overseas in America. But the Father Ted Christmas special and Mrs. Brown's Boys, they're like really, really popular here at Christmas.
Okay, yeah, Mrs. Brown's Boys, she's still doing Christmas specials, isn't she?
I think so. I think that they're I think they're still doing Christmas specials. So they would be the big ones. Then we also have like a soap here called Fair City. It's kind of like EastEnders or Coronation Street. And then they would have their Christmas special on every year too.
Is it just like a special episode they show on Christmas Day?
They do it a bit longer.
So boys and girls, if you're not in the UK, one of our main soaps is EastEnders. And quite often they'll show two episodes on Christmas Day of EastEnders. They'll have like a earlier episode and then like one in the evening as well. It's pretty dramatic. They always save the big storylines for Christmas. Yeah, so Father Ted, is that prime time every year, or is that just one that...
It's usually on Christmas Eve that they'll put on the Father Ted Christmas special every year, and everybody watches it. It's just the usual thing that everybody does. Everybody always watches the Father Ted Christmas special.
Ah, see, that was on Channel 4 in the UK, which is like our third or fourth tier channel. It does seem to get shown every year, but I don't watch it every year, and I don't think they make a big thing. Well, Channel 4 might make a big thing of it, but I don't really watch Channel 4 that much. So, that's funny, because I knew it was made in the UK, though. No, it was filmed in Ireland. Was it an Irish show, though? Or was it made by Channel 4?
Yeah. It was an Irish show, but I think like they had the house and all the outdoor stuff was filmed in Ireland, in County Clare, in the Burren. But then I think they could have done like all the studio work in England.
It was. Oh, OK.
I think that's what happened with it. That's because I think that, Channel 4, it was nothing like RTE, the Irish TV shows. They didn't have anything to do with it. It was all Channel 4.
Well, you get Channel 4 in...
Yeah, no, we get Channel 4, we get them all. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, so it's still shown
on RTE. Channel 4. So, yeah, we've got like RTE, like RTE 1 and 2, and then there's like Virgin Media 1. And yeah, we have a few of our own channels. They're not very good, though.
But it gets shown on which one then?
The Irish ones.
Oh, it does get shown on RTE?
Yeah, and RTE 1 normally.
Oh, okay. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
What about films then? Have you got any films? Actually, no, there must be more TV than that you've got that we don't watch. Surely. Come on. Work with me on this one.
I'm doing my best here, Jack. We really like have everything that you guys have over there. Like we mostly just watch all the English shows. Like the toy show is the main thing that we have that will be different, that it would just be the toy show every year.
Yeah. So I didn't say this on the episode, but that's actually the most watched show of the year, not just of that show, but of like any show in Ireland that gets like the biggest viewing figures of a whole year.
It does
pretty much every year.
Everybody watches it, and it's just like so big. It's of the whole year. Everybody just like watches the toy show. It's like and all over the world and everything.
Yeah, well, I was taught it was over 140 countries it's shown in, isn't it? So tell me about your history with that then. So when you were little.
Yeah, so my history with that, we'd be allowed to stay up late for the toy show and everyone would be like, are you watching the toy show? Are you watching the toy show? And you'd be trying to like, you know, get on it and stuff. But it was really, when I was small, it was only these big dance, like, I don't know, like the kids go and you learn to dance and everything. In Dublin, no kids from around the country would get on.
See.
It was only like,
Do you think do you think they were kids from stage schools?
Yeah, there were. So they wouldn't be doing the demonstrations for the toys. That would kind of be like anybody, but it was really hard to get on. But it's a lot more fair now that like if I wanted now for my children to audition for it, you send a little video of your child in and you fill out an application form and then they can demonstrate a toy. But it's kids perform for the whole show. Like there's this group of kids called the Billy Barry Kids and they'll do like songs and dances and everything. And there'll be little kids doing Irish dancing and playing the tin whistle. And it's just very cute. It's a lot nicer now. It's a lot more inclusive. Like when I was smaller, it was, it was really hard to get on. But now they have everybody and children of all different abilities and stuff, you know. So it's great. It's really, really good. No, but I loved it. Every year we used to watch it on a Friday night for coming up to Christmas and then do our Christmas letters after. And we'd be allowed to stay up late. And they only brought the Christmas jammies in Pennies recently, in maybe the past, I'd say, 10 years. So, and now you would also get, you're able to buy like a Late Late Toy Show gift box that you can get for your kids and there'd be all treats in it for the night and everything.
Well, so it's like people have their Christmas Eve box. They actually have to watch this show. They have a special book. God, they're cashing in on that, aren't they?
They totally are. They really, really are. But it's not really, is it RTE? It'd just be like random shops would come up with it, you know, that you could be like, you can buy it. It's not specifically that the money goes to the TV, like, you know, it's just little companies
cash
in on this. Oh, the toy show. Let's do a toy show box.
So yeah. The pajamas you were saying about, the jammies from Penny's.
Yeah.
Are they official jammies or could anyone be producing these then?
No, they're official jammies. And that, like, so Penny's is, yeah, they're like, they're Penny's. They're, that's like Primark. Oh. And they do the pajamas and they're maybe about 15 to 25 euro. But as far as I remember, that they donate some of the money to charity. So oh, okay. You don't feel as bad getting a new pair every year. But you're like, you know, they still fit me from last year. Oh, sure, I'll get a new pair because it's going for charity, going to charity, the money.
So your kids, they've got the late toy show jammies, have they?
Oh, they have since they were teeny tiny. Yeah, like
well, every year you buy a new pair of you've sold out or
No, I have. Like I'm a total sucker for all this stuff. Like,
and how many times do they wear these pajamas?
Well, they'd probably just wear them the build up to Christmas.
So it's not just the one night. They get it up to Christmas. Oh, okay. No.
And mine are pretty partial to like an El Pair Christmas jammies any time of the year. They're big into Christmas like me. So like they could just rock up with their Christmas jammies on and it's March. So yes, they love them.
Okay. Back to the Late Late Show. So what time's it actually show then?
This is one thing that I think they should change. If I could, you know, send them a few little critiques to have it on a little bit earlier. Because it's on at 9:30 and, you know, for the little kids, that's a bit late. And it goes on until about 11:30, 12:30.
Oh, so it's over 2 hours long?
Yeah.
So what time is the late show on then?
Normally the late show starts at 9:30 on
Friday.
Oh,
it does anyway. So it's just the normal times.
Yeah. But it's very late. It's very late for the kids that it starts at 9:30 and then it goes on to like 11:30 or 12:30. Oh. So mine are usually like, they have fallen asleep before the end of it. They never get it. But they usually repeat it on a Sunday. But I'm not sure if they do now, because I think you can just put it on the RTE player.
Oh, you know, okay.
You can see whatever time you want.
Yeah, I bet, though, even if they started like an hour earlier, I bet the viewing figures would be even higher, wouldn't they? Because then more kids can watch it.
Totally would. Like that, they should have, I think maybe if they started at 8:00, because the kids still would be like, oh my God, I'm getting to stay up late and have all my treats and everything. Because that's still late for a kid.
Right.
So if it was on like from 8 until 11:30, or sorry, 10:30 or 11:00, that would probably be better, I think.
Right. So have you ever got any toys that you saw in there and you're like, that's what I want, Mum, and that's what you got for Christmas?
Oh, yeah. Mr. Frosty. And I
had Mr.
Like,
Frosty. Put the ice cubes in, Percy Penguin.
And they do a little syrup. But Jack, I never got it. I had it on my list for like, I'd say 3 years, and I never got Mr. Frosty.
Oh, no.
Never. I was like, yeah, devastated. So when my eldest boy was 4, he didn't even know what Mr. Frosty was. You could still get Mr. Frosty now. He got Mr. Frosty off Santa.
What did you think of it?
Maybe a little bit overrated.
Yeah, I desperately wanted it, and then I got it, and then I barely used it. But that seems like that's the way with most of the toys I desperately wanted. I think the joy of getting it is the peak, and it's only ever going to go downhill from there. It's very rare that you get a toy where it just keeps giving. My girls got Furbies last year. I think by Boxing Day, they were bored of them. Terrible. Cost us a fortune.
Oh, yeah. We have a Furby as well. Lily got it for her birthday in October. And yeah, by the beginning of November, Furby was, forgotten about.
But,
yeah. Now, I never got Mr. Frosty, but I always wanted Mr. Frosty. But I did get Tiny Tears. I saw Tiny Tears in like the little toy demo, and I got Tiny Tears, and I was absolutely delighted. And then there was also the Petite 990. I don't know if you remember that song. It was like the Petite 990. I won't do the song, but there was like a little typewriter, and but it was called the Petite 990, and I got that, and I thought that was the best thing ever as well. And I saw that from the toy show.
It's a real good market employ then, this show, isn't it? For anyone that can get their toy on there, they're laughing.
Really is. No, it seriously is. But I think they need to put a lot of money into it to get it on the show. But it is. Like, whatever toy you've on, all the kids want. All the kids want. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so TV sounds like it's pretty much Christmas Day, then what do you do Christmas Day? Is it, do you got it? Because it's mainly Catholic in Ireland, isn't it? Do you go to church? Yeah. Actually, let's bring it back a day. What's a Christmas Eve? It's not a holiday in Ireland. Do you get like a half day or?
Yeah, well, no, all the shops kind of close early. So most shops are closed by about 3 o'clock. Uh-huh. And then the pubs close early too.
Do they?
Yeah.
What time's early?
So most pubs will be closed by about 9 o'clock at night in Ireland. Some could be like open till 10, but usually most pubs close early on Christmas Eve.
So what time is it normally then on a normal Friday night?
On a normal Friday night, I think it's 11:30 is closing time. Or 12. 12:30, I think, is closing time. But it is definitely earlier on Christmas Eve that they need to close the pubs earlier. And on Christmas Eve, it's a big thing in Ireland that people go to midnight mass.
Right.
And it's like typical Ireland, midnight mass isn't at midnight. It's at like 10 o'clock.
Well, does it run till midnight or is it?
No, it used to be at midnight, but like people might go for a couple of pints before they'd go to mass and they might be a bit tipsy then for actual midnight mass. So they decided that they were going to bring it back and have it earlier. So midnight mass now is usually at around 10 o'clock. So people aren't hammered in the church.
Is it by law they have to close the pubs early?
They had it by law up to a few years ago that they were closed earlier, but then they changed it that they can open to the normal times, but they still close early. It would be really hard to, you wouldn't be able to have a night out, say, on Christmas Eve, and then all the pubs in Ireland are closed on Christmas Day.
Right. Complete. Every single one is closed.
Every single pub is closed. Yes.
And that's by law, is it? Or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what if you want to go out for dinner on Christmas Day? Like restaurants open or anything like that?
Nothing's open. So the only way you could kind of get a drink would be if you were staying in a hotel, and only a few hotels will be open and they would have Christmas dinner. And it's hard enough to get like a reservation in a hotel for Christmas dinner on Christmas Day. And usually it's just like buffet style. And we'd have to normally be a resident to do it.
Oh, wow. Well, that's very different then, because in the UK, it seems to be getting more and more popular. People go out for Christmas dinner. It's not something I'd ever do. I don't like the idea of it. Because you can go to a restaurant any day. But like my mates have done it. I think my wife's mum's done it a couple of times. Her sister's done it. Yeah. Yeah. When I was young, I don't remember any pubs being open, but not for food anyway. But then the local pubs are often open just around lunchtime. So like just before Christmas dinner, the dads might go out and have a pint down the pub and then they'd go home for Christmas dinner. So it's just like a morning or late morning, early afternoon type thing. But they wouldn't be open in the evening, I don't think. But that really surprises me because Christmas Eve in the UK is like a real big drinking night. That's like, I think the pubs are open later then. But then I suppose we're a bunch of heathens over here. Not many people go to church. Some people go to midnight mass. I think I've been once. I talked about it earlier in the year about the time I think I went, but I was so drunk. I'm not sure if I ever did go. So do you go every year then?
Yeah, we normally do go to mass.
And do you take the kids?
Yes, I would take the kids. Yeah, no, we take the kids. It's my kids go to like Catholic school and everything, but the only time we go to mass is at Christmas because it's like, you know, I don't go all year, but I'll go for his birthday. And so that's pretty much as much as we do for Christmas. And my son's making his first Holy Communion this year in school. So I'll have to make a little bit more of an effort. But normally it's just Christmas that we go to mass. Now they have Christmas mass on Christmas morning too, so that's more suitable for the kids. I wouldn't really keep my kids up for the midnight mass, so usually I'd bring them Christmas morning, but before I had the kids it would always be midnight mass.
So this year, what's it going to be, Christmas Day or Christmas Eve?
It's going to be Christmas Day because they'll have to be in bed because it is too late for them, you know. So when they get bigger it'll be Christmas Eve, but Christmas Day is what it's going to be this year.
So when I was young, we did used to go to church on Christmas Day. My mum's quite religious. Not every year, but the whole pub thing, I'm amazed by that. So people, do they get a half day on Christmas Eve?
Normal people at work, most places are closed, but like restaurants...
On Christmas Eve?
On Christmas Eve. But like restaurants, not most places, sorry, like shops and everything are open. But it would be very unusual to see like a clothes shop or a gift shop open past about 2 or 3 o'clock.
So what about office workers?
Most office workers are off on Christmas Eve.
Okay. Yeah.
They're usually like my husband is given, I think he has his holidays every year and then he's given maybe I think it's like Christmas Eve is a day that they're just given as well. You know, it's not like a bank holiday or anything, but they just don't work. And my sister, she works in an office too. And the same, they just give them Christmas Eve off.
Yeah, I think most offices, well, in my experience, they do tend to still be at work.
Hmm.
So Christmas Day, with regards to Santa Claus, he's exactly the same as in the UK, I guess, then. Do you call him Father Christmas at all? Or is it all just Santa Claus?
Santi, normally.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so usually Santi or Santa. But usually, most kids call him Santi. Like, did Santi come?
Never Father Christmas.
Never Father Christmas, no.
Okay.
Always just like Santi.
So, obviously, kids get up. Open with presents, then it might be church.
Yes.
And then, so what about Christmas dinner? Is it turkey?
Yeah, it's the very same as in the UK. So like it'd normally be prawn cocktail, the normal, and then like leek and potato soup, and then turkey and ham and stuffing, vegetables, potatoes, the very same as the UK. And then dessert then, Christmas pudding is really big here. So most families would have Christmas pudding and then they'd put like brandy on it and light it. So that would be the normal dessert. And then, yeah, Irish coffees after. And Irish coffees in the morning too, and Bailey's coffees in the morning.
Oh, right. I think I talked about this before. So we have Buck's Fizz. Or a lot of people do. I think it's sort of dying out a bit more now. But Buck's Fizz is half champagne, half orange juice. Is that something or not?
I like that, but it wouldn't be a thing. Bailey's coffees and Irish coffees would be the main thing.
That's what you'd wake up to?
Yeah, with your selection box.
Well, the chocolate selection box.
Yeah, because Santa normally brings a selection box every year. So most people would have their selection box for their brekkie with a Bailey's coffee.
Okay.
Yeah.
So going back, you were saying about Christmas dinner and you said about the prawn cocktail or leek and potato soup. Is that most people you reckon have a starter?
Definitely. Yeah. So when we usually like the massive dinner, like so prawn cocktail, then leek and potato soup, then your dinner, then my dog's trying to get in. Then it would be like Christmas pudding and stuff. So that would be what would be normal.
So you think most people in Ireland will have three or four courses?
Definitely, yes. It would have to be your two starters, main course and dessert.
That really surprises me because in the UK, I don't think we've ever had more than the main course and the dessert. I know prawn cocktail is considered a kind of starter you'd have with Christmas dinner, but no, I don't know if my mates or anyone I know does that.
Really?
That's good to hear. Yeah, there we go.
Oh my God. And we'd have usually the same dinner on St. Stephen's Day. So we call Boxing Day St. Stephen's Day.
Yeah, the Feast of Stephen, yeah. When King Wenceslas looked out.
Yeah.
What, you have the same again?
Usually it would be the very same thing. Yeah.
On really? Stephen's a full Day. Roast again?
Like a full roast again. You can barely move. Yeah.
Are you just using up what you had left over? Or is it actually you might have another? Oh, so it's not a new turkey. And it's not. No. So do you reheat the potatoes or do you cook the new potatoes and stuff?
I couldn't eat reheated roast potatoes.
No, you couldn't. So you're actually roasting potatoes again?
Yeah.
What about getting drunk? Does everyone get drunk on Christmas Day?
Kind of keep topped up all day. Yeah, pretty much. But you can't go to the pubs. So St. Stephen's night is a really, really big night in Ireland. So on St. Stephen's Day, there's this thing. It's called the Wren Boys.
The Hunting of the Wren. I am familiar because I talked about it on my show. And if you listened, Jeannie, you'd know that.
I listen a lot. I moved house recently and it was very difficult for me to listen all the time. But the Wren boys still go call around people's houses. Where I live now, they have a really big Wren boy thing going on. And they're all playing music and everything. And it's really
cool. Wren boy. That's funny. The term Wren boy sounds very similar to another term. Rent boy. Are you familiar with that term?
Yeah.
You are. So can you tell us a bit about the hunting? Do they call it the Hunting of the Wren or is it just the Wren Boys?
In Ireland, they just call it the Wren Boys. So it would be normally that they would have this fake wren bird.
That's how they do it. So they have it in a little cage on a stick or something. Is that it?
Yeah, with all holly around it and everything. And
when you say fake, what is it? Does it look like a bird? Does someone made it themselves?
Yeah, it does, Jack. It looks like a bird. And the people are all dressed up really sort of weird looking, but kind of funny. They've got like straw hats and straw dresses and everything on them.
Yep.
And they're playing musical instruments and they call to your house. And then you would be kind of, probably you know this from your research, that they would like come to your house and it would be tradition that you would give them money for a feather off the wren. But now they come to your house and you give them money and you donate, but it goes to a charity.
Is that right? Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
No, so when I covered it, I only briefly touched upon the fact that it's popular in Ireland because I think it was the Isle of Man where, it, I don't know if that's where it originated, but that's where it's big in the UK. I think in parts of Wales as well. So I didn't really mention much about the, because the straw thing, I saw that, the straw outfits, when I was researching it, but I don't think I mentioned that either when I was talking about it. So have you had that before or is it just now that you've moved?
I've had it before. So where I grew up, we would have had it. So I grew up in the Midlands, then in Ireland, and then I moved to Dublin and now I live in Wicklow. And so in Dublin, didn't have it as much, but now I've moved to Wicklow. I live in a little village called Enniskerry and there's this, like they do, they're called the Kirtlestown Wren Boys. And they have a big thing every St. Stephen's Day. And it's really cool. It's really fun. So, yeah.
But that's just door to door. Do they meet up afterwards? Does everyone meet up afterwards or do they?
They do. They'll go down to whoever's house that they might be invited to or they might know in the area. But then they meet up at this place called Shop River. It's like at a little river, a bridge. And then everybody plays their music and has a dance and everyone gets together and has a couple of drinks there.
But it doesn't end up in a pub, though.
No, it doesn't. It's quite civilised, really, here. Yeah.
So what time does it finish then?
It usually starts at about 12 and it goes on till about 3 in the afternoon.
Oh, okay. So it's more like a family thing. So come the evening, is that when everyone's in the pubs then?
Yeah, so that'd be the big, big night for everybody to go out. So St. Stephen's Day, it would be like probably the biggest night in Ireland, I'd say, that people would go out. Because everybody's home and then they'll meet up in the local villages and you mightn't have seen your friends. They're living abroad because a lot of Irish people, you know, emigrate and stuff. So everybody would come home and meet up and go out and it's just the best fun. And all the Christmas songs are still playing in the pubs and in the nightclubs and everything. So it's a really, really big night.
Would you say it's bigger than New Year's Eve?
I think it is. Yeah, it is. It's definitely, I think it's bigger, Yeah, St. Stephen's Night would be a bigger night in Ireland than New Year's Eve. Well, it'd be very similar, like, but I'd say Stephen's Night could probably be bigger.
So you get like 3 days off for Christmas then? Has everyone got back to work on the day after St. Stephen's Day?
The day after St. Stephen's Day, a lot of people. So when I was a student, I used to like, you know, work part time in this department store. Uh-huh. And we'd all be out on St. Stephen's Night. And then we'd have to go into work then. And usually the sale, like the Christmas sale or the New Year's sale would start that day. And everybody would be in absolute bits in work on the 27th of December. Be like, oh, God, so bad.
Yeah. So the shops are open. But do you think offices in that as well?
Offices wouldn't be usually open on the 27th. Usually they're back the 28th and then just do a couple of days up until New Year's Eve and then finish up early on New Year's Eve and then off New Year's Day. Yeah,
I see. Oh, there we go. So I had to cut it off there because we were chatting for quite a long time. So I'm going to put it in two segments. So that was the first segment and then we'll have the second part in the next episode. Now, boys and girls, I've said this dozens of times. The best thing about this podcast is the people I've met. And Jeannie was no exception. She was a pure delight and we had a fantastic chat. She's going to be in the next episode with the rest of that interview. But we also recorded a couple of other segments that will be coming up in future episodes. So I want to say a massive thank you again to Jeannie for recording that. Thank you so much. Now it's time for this. Boys and girls, this episode's recommendation is, I'll tell you what it is, I've been listening to Under the Dome, you know, the Stephen King book. It's like 30 hours long or something ridiculous like that. I'm listening to the audiobook, but someone's recorded it and put it on YouTube. So, yeah, I've just sort of copied the sound off YouTube and been listening to it at work. 30 hours of it. I haven't quite finished it. I'm down to like the last 5 hours. So, yeah. Have a listen to that. If you've never listened to it or watched the TV show, and watched the TV show, don't think I'll bother now that I've nearly finished the book. But it's something, isn't it? That's my recommendation this week. And And that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I want to say a big thank you to everyone that's been part of it, all the people that sent in their scores. Of course, Jeannie for a fantastic interview, and as ever, my mate Bob for putting in his two segments there. If you want to get in touch and you want to send your score through or send me anything really, my email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook, just look for Total Christmas Podcast, or you can go on the website totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love you. Merry, happy Christmas.
Now get out of here, bird, or I'll hit you again. Get out of here.